Ramchal, after his patira, that where we actually ended off last week, as he was able to enjoy Lo'olam Haba, some peace, in the sense that at least the last few years when he spent in Amsterdam, and then he was over to Eretz Yisrael, as we mentioned, he was nipped at such a young age, just about the age of 40. And it turns out that many of the opposition, of course, originally, that they came down and to realize ultimately the greatness of the Ramchal. But as everything is, there was always some skeptics, you know, always thinking that maybe the Rabbanim of Venice were really onto something. The Rabbanim of Venice were not the nostalgics either, you know, they were recognized Rabbanim. You know, you're dealing now, you know, in the 1700s. And the great Talmid Chacham, and as I mentioned, one of the leaders of the Rabbanim of Venice was in Adam Gola by the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico. And as a matter of fact, we were in Italy in different places, you know, visiting some Beis Achayims. We saw the name Pacifico, you know, quite often. And don't exactly know how directly related, but certainly the name Pacifico is not such a common name. And one can imagine that certainly they were descendants or cousins and so on and so forth, distant cousins from Rabbi Pacifico. As he pointed out, one of the things about Rabbi Pacifico, he was the one that the Arachayim took as Kome. The first printing of the Yad HaChaim, you know, was in Italy. It was printed in Venice. And you open up the page, you'll see, after the title page, you'll see who they take as Kome, Rabbi Yitzchak Pacifico. So you can realize Yitzchak Pacifico, who gives Haskoma on the Yad HaChaim. He's the most revered sefer, you know, in the world of Hasidus. And he was one of the greatest and the strongest, you know, of the opposers. And as a matter of fact, in the letters that they are from the Ramchal, which we didn't read too many of them, we just spoke about just in general form, but if you go through the letters, you know, Ramchal, when he writes about the Vista Pacifico, he says, the Pacifico. He doesn't even give him a title rabbi. The Pacifico, and so on and so forth. The more was overwhelmingly, Gedol Yisrael, they came around and to recognize the greatness and the Kedusha of the Ramchal. Just to give you just a little bit of an example of what we're talking about, there was one of the, by the way, Ramchal himself made comment about the fact what he was going through. He said, this is the Koich of the Samachmen, this is the Koich of the Sultan. Did not want, he says, that the world should be filled with the type of Kedusha. Had Ramchal been successful at his time, to be able to have his yeshiva thrive and be able to reveal, again, more and more secrets of Kabbalah, then there's a good chance, you know, that there's so much, too much Kedusha in the world, which can even bring Mashiach. And the Ramchal clearly was convinced that this is the Koich of the Samachmen, this is the Koich of the Sultan, that is putting in all these Koiches in order to be able to block, you know, the influence of Ramchal. One of the great Gedol Yisrael, who was a tremendous, again, of the opposers on the other side, was a Gedol Yisrael by the name of Reb Lezer Rokeach. It's connected just to take literally just a moment just to mention who he was. Reb Lezer Rokeach was known as Reb Lezer Rokeach of Brody. Brody was a city in Poland. And he was in the 1700s. He was in the time of Ramchal, actually. He was a rabbi in Krakow. He's known as Reb Lezer of Krakow. And he's a rabbi in Krakow, was a rabbi in Brody. And mainly, he became the rabbi of the Ashkenazi Shekehil in Amsterdam. Which again, this is one of the most distinguished rabbinical positions of the time, Gales was Amsterdam. And as we know that Ramchal settled there for a while, you know, as he was fleeing, you know, from Padua, and he ends up in Amsterdam at the end. It's interesting to point out that Reb Lezer Rokeach, he wrote a sefer called Meiser Rokeach, that's one of his svarim. But just to mention is that he arrives in Amsterdam just about the year 1735, and he's received with tremendous covet because his reputation preceded him. And as a matter of fact, one of the unique things, probably, you know, you haven't heard of it much before, certainly, and not after, he was so revered also by the government, by the Malucha, that the government, during his lifetime, that he actually minted a coin, instead of having, you know, having the coin of the Melech, having a coin of the governor, having the coin, you had the coin minted his tzur. It's a very well-known thing. We have pictures of it today. It's all around, you know, about the coin, the two sides of the coin. And written clearly, you see him, it's a half portrait, or, you know, it's carved out of him. His face, about mid-chest. And mentioning, he could mention exactly Rabbi so-and-so. Loza Rokeach on it. And the matter of fact, Bianchi Vemden writes in a place that he had the opportunity actually to see one of these coins. And he said it was a tremendous, tremendous covet, he said, that the government should actually mint the coin, you know, for a rabbi no less. And that shows just a little bit about how well he was received. After 5 years in Amsterdam, he decides to go to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Loza Rokeach. And he prints it over there, imprints the Sefer Maaser Rokeach. He prints it actually in 1740 in Amsterdam. That was the first printing of the Maaser Rokeach, which, by the way, is a Pirush HaMishnayis, B'derech Remes and Seudas HaKabbalah. It's a Kabbalistic interpretation of Mishnayis called Maaser Rokeach, which is called. And Chalamoid Sukkah, 1741, he arrives to Tzfas. However, his life was very miserable in Tzfas. Why? Because you can realize, being what you just mentioned a moment ago, he was such a misnagid, you know, to Ramchal, and the reason was one reason. Because why? Anything that either smelled remotely of being an adherent or admirer of Shabtai Tzvi, or maybe a secret follower, that's all you needed. Reb Loza Rokeach was similar like Reb Bianchi Vemden, tremendous kanoi. Fought tooth and nail. Anyone who might be suspected as being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. Well, what happened is he comes to Eretz Yisrael in Tzfas, and there, let me tell you, there's a sefer. Let me tell you about that sefer. There's a sefer that was very much accepted in Tzfas at the time, and the sefer was called Chemdas Ayomim. Chemdas Ayomim is unbelievable what I'm going to tell you now. It's a sefer which is so controversial from one end of the spectrum to the other, meaning there are those considered to be a holy sefer, Mole Kedusha, and there are others who take that sefer and just throw it into the garbage. You don't find that garbage. It's chosher. But two opposite, diametrically opposed. What's the tzad nisht? What's the tzad against it? Anything inside, you're not going to find anything wrong. You're not going to find anything wrong in that sefer. I'd love it. The reason it's revered for those who review it, because it's full of talking about Menhagei Yisrael, a lot of interpretations, everything on the surface is always gehalten. What's the problem? Those who oppose it, because they believe that the author of that sefer was Noson HaAzazi, who was the prophet of Shabtai Tzvi, or known in the secular word, Nathan of Gaza. Noson HaAzazi, coming from Aza. Coming from Gaza. And that's the mamish what it boils down to. If the Mechaber is a prophet, right? Shabtai Tzvi's prophet, no matter any Kedusha what's in there, it's Pasul Melo, just from the start. Doesn't mean anything. So if Pekoyos writing Kedusha has just the opposite effect. On the other hand, if he's not the author, and no one is able to pin it down. And a lot of articles have been written about that. A lot of articles. And therefore, in the world, here's what I'm telling you, when I say the two sides, in the world of the Talmid Baal Shem Tov themselves, in the world of Talmid Baal Shem Tov, like you have Chayzim Lublin, you have the Kedusha Slavi, I'm talking about these brand names. You would have those that would be safe, was accepted tremendously. And again, Chaveirim Talmid Baal Shem Tov, others against it. Against it, totally against it. And Reb Loza Rokeach of Amsterdam was very much against that sefer. And therefore he got to Machlokes with the people who, in Tzfas, which they believed in that sefer, and therefore he just said he just can't sit down, and therefore he apostled the sefer, and he just opposed them. Well, as a result, of course, they didn't sit down either. So they made his life miserable over there. He had in mind to go back to Chutz Loretz. You saw it's no tachlis to stay here. However, he didn't make it. He was nipsed right over there. And he left that tzavar that he should be buried in Hebron. And he was left to actually Shabbos Bereshis in the year 1741. As Reb Bianchi Vemden writes, that Shumayim wanted him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, therefore he was nifter before he had the opportunity to go back to Chutz Loretz. So he also wrote a sefer called Arba'ot Turei Evin, which happens to be a pirush on the Rambam. So that's more of a lomdist, that's more chubis than dealing with halachic aspects. But the sefer Maaser Rokeach basically is a sefer, as we said, is a sefer basically interpretations of Kabbalah on Mishnayis. Kabbalistic interpretations on Mishnayis. Let me just tell you something also that's interesting about him. Reb Loza Rokeach, Well, Reb Lozer Rekeich had a grandson whose name is also Reb Lozer. Well, he was called Reb Lozer. So he had a grandson also called Reb Lozer Rekeich. Who was that? The father of Sholem Belzer, for the Belzer dynasty. Sholem Rekeich, that's the name of the Belzer. So here is the interesting thing. So Reb Sholem of Lozer Rekeich of Amsterdam had a grandson also called Reb Lozer Rekeich, who was the father of Reb Sholem Belzer, who was, of course, the founder of the Sholem Kebelzer, Reb Sholem of Belz. So he had a little bit of idea to see, you know, what we're talking about. So Reb Lozer of Amsterdam was a fierce opponent of Ramchal, and he even put Ramchal in Cheyun. Another one was a person by the name of Adam Goro, by the name of Rabbi Yaleib. Rabbi Yaleib was also Rav in Amsterdam at the same time. Who is Rabbi Yaleib? Rabbi Yaleib was the son-in-law of the Chacham Tzvi, which makes him a brother-in-law of Yaakov Emden. Well, you can imagine, they had the same type of yeshita. Also a very, very fierce, a strong opponent. And not only that, they wrote letters, and they wrote, made announcements. Clearly, one cannot believe the bizyonis, and the way the lowly assessment, the way they're described in terms of Ramchal, it's just unbelievable that such a person should be at the end of such bizyonis. And what happened was, towards the end, they changed their mind totally. That's the Chiddush. The Blazer Rekeich changed his mind, and there's evidence that Rabbi Yaleib HaKoi, Rabbi Yaleib also, and Rabbi Yaakov also changed his mind. And they all became, because when Ramchal actually came to Amsterdam, then they met him face to face. Till now, whatever they wrote up until then is only based upon hearsay, what they heard. Well, the Rabbanim of Venice said what they said. And Rabbanim of Venice also had influence in other areas. So other Rabbanim followed in the same way. Germany and so on and so forth, the Knesset Yecheskel, you know, who was, when he was Nifter, the Anisaibisha succeeds the Knesset Yecheskel. Knesset Yecheskel was alive, he was also one of the opponents, you know, against the Ramchal, and so on. But once they met him face to face, you saw this is a different person, we're not talking about the same person. And therefore, like, just the opposite, became admirers of him, they recognized the greatness of the Ramchal. And you can also see that Ramchal writes to his Rebbe Bshai Basson, we mentioned his communication back to Padua, and he says, now in Amsterdam Baruch Hashem, he says, I have Menuchas HaNefesh, and he writes, all the Gedolei Yisrael of Amsterdam are coming to my door to speak and learning and to ask the questions. You can imagine if you'd be on the other end suffering again the same indignities by Reb Lozer Rekeich and all the others, would not write to his Rebbe. He says that I have Menuch over here. So that itself tells you that they have come around once they were able to meet him personally and to recognize his true godless. Also, regarding Reb Arya extension, Reb Arya Leib, who was again the son of the Chacham Tzvi, it's an interesting thing. He had a son, a Godlador, and maybe his son is even more popular than the father. You see, the father, again, we're talking about Reb Arya Leib, the Bono of Reb Yaakov Emden of Amsterdam. But he had a son known as Reb Shaul Amsterdam. Shaul Amsterdam, in order to tell you, is known as really, truly a Godlador. Mechaber of the Sefer called Binyan Ariel. Reb Shaul Amsterdam, highly, highly revered in the world of Torah and the world of learning. And he was the son of Reb Arya Leib. Now, a sefer of Ramchal was printed, which is called Derech Chochma. A sefer of Ramchal, which is called Derech Chochma, was printed in Amsterdam, and there's a haskoma from Reb Shaul Amsterdam, who writes tremendously about the godless of Ramchal. One cannot imagine if his father would remain to be an enemy of Ramchal to the last moment, right? It's inconceivable that his son, even if he held otherwise, would go openly and write a letter of Haskama praising and admiring the Ramchal to the extent that he did. That's also again an indication that the father of Rabbi Yaleib, who used to be a tremendous misnaged of the Ramchal, just came around and changed and saw clearly saw. And that's truly what it was. Because the fact is, when Ramchal was in Padua, you have to recognize, even though, as mentioned, all the sorrows that he suffered, but the sorrow that he suffered was not in Padua. The sorrow that he suffered was from the outside, like we said, from Venice, from all areas of outside. But in Padua itself, Ramchal, where he lived, he didn't have any problems in Padua, per se. But he suffered because, why? Because all of these surrounding areas were shooting all the bullets and ammunition against Ramchal. And just remind the Yerlim again that one of the Gadol was recognized. Remember, we mentioned that Reb Shai Basson's father was the Zokin, or the senior Baal Mekubel of the generation, Reb Binyamin HaKoyen, known as the Rabach, by the way. Rabach with Binyamin HaKoyen. Binyamin HaKoyen was the senior Baal Mekubal in the world. The senior Baal Mekubal. Known in the world of Bakabola. He was a Zokim Muflig. At that time, he was advanced in age. An extreme Zokim. Ramchal was only 20 years old. And he would send his questions of Kabbalah, he would send his questions to Ramchal. Understand that. Not only that, there's letters, and maybe one day we might read it. He writes to Ramchal, he says that Ramchal should reveal to him what his Shevish Nisham is. What his Shevish Nisham is, where it comes from, and maybe it may be born again in Nisham of some previous one of the tribes, and so on and so forth. And he asks Ramchal, Ramchal writes him back and tells him. And when he had questions of Kabbalah and so on and so forth, who did he have? He asked Ramchal. Ramchal at the age of 20, the Binyamin HaKoyim, Ramchal's Rebbe's Rebbe, okay? Ramchal's Rebbe's father-in-law, the Binyamin HaKoyim, senior Baal Mekubal. So you can recognize him to see, you know, the great cover that he had on the one hand, besides all the enemies that he had on the other side. But in Padua itself, he was recognized. And not only that, who else? We mentioned already to Ferrara. Right? We tried to find, which there's no evidence of the cave, but we went to the old Beis HaChaim of Yitzhak Lampunti. Right? Tremendous going, where the Goyen HaDor wrote an encyclopedic work called Pachad Yitzchak. Right? 12, 13 volumes. Small letters, but probably on one page you can have 10,000, literally 10,000 words, because it's such a small print. Subsequently been reprinted with many more volumes because there's indexes and everything like that. And so like upgraded, work done, scholars working on it. He was a tremendous physician as well at the same time. So we were in Ferrara. And Yitzhak Lampunti traveled from Ferrara to learn Kabbalah by Ramchal. He was recognized God Lador in Nigla, in Talmud. Medicine, of course, he was a doctor. And he goes to Ramchal to teach him. And he says he saw things with his own eyes. He saw things with his own eyes, which is unbelievable. What did he see? He saw how Ramchal took a pen, started writing on top of the page. He said within a few seconds, he said the entire page was filled with words, which is something that a human being cannot do, unless it comes with tremendous Yati Dishmaya and Koychis L'malam Medera Chateva. That just gives us a little bit of an inkling of the turmoil and the stormy, very, very stormy life of Ramchal. Enemies on the one side, Kohen on the other side, and ultimately having overwhelmingly Gedolim were against him, coming around and recognizing the godless of the Ramchal. So for now, Rabbi Yisai will go to the Derech Hashem, and we go to Daf Nun Beis in your edition. And the paragraph is Ches. Ois Ches, the paragraph. The Tzorech Sheteida. The Tzorech Sheteida. Okay, it's Ois Ches. Daf Nun Beis. Alright, let's make a small hagdama. Ramchal already mentioned before we had, right, in a number of paragraphs before, where Ramchal tells us that basically, that whatever exists and happens down here in this physical world, Ramchal mentions, is a merely a copy of what exists of the spiritual world above. In other words, whatever happens down here first it takes place in the spiritual world above, and then it evolves down to this world. That goes both for Toiv and for Ra, both for good and for bad. So here's where we're at the receiving end. It didn't start here. Whatever happens over here is already started in the Olam HaSol Yoyim, he says, in the spiritual Koyches above. And then it evolves from those Koyches, it evolves down to this world. Ramchal here in this segment, in Ois Ches, elaborates on how evil develops in the physical world. How evil develops in this physical world down here. So it goes down and he points out and he says, Kihirei, Avapi Shebe'emes, he says, Sibas calling Yonah, you have to know, he says, that even though in reality, the cause of anything good, right? Anything good, whatever they may be, meaning, Pirish means i.e. Anything good means Bein Bekoiches, whether in the upper worlds, Bein Betolisayim, or what emerges from them down here. First of all, when anything good takes place in the upper world, where does it come from? Where does it come? Of course, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you want to know the mechanics of it is any area in Shemayim that is Zoyche that has the schus to be able to receive, he says, to be able to receive the illumination of Hashem's face, kibiyochel, to be able to bask in the glory of Hashem, automatically that is good. That's filled with good. In other words, those makoymes, those areas in Shemayim, all those areas, he says, all the toiv, he says, Machal makes a point, and he says, v'tzor shetet, I want you to know that, that all of the toiv, b'cholmokim she'ein, cholmokim she'ein, whether above or what emerges from that, till the same is what emerges. Hinei he, in other words, what's the source of that toiv? The source of that toiv is, he'oras pona v'yizborach k'moy she'zachanu, is the illumination, right, of Hashem's reflection, as we have already mentioned. And Rachel already mentions in previous segments. In other words, Rachel mentioned that all the spiritual sources of good in this world are the koiches that are able to receive the illumination from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the koiches in Shemayim that are able to receive the illumination from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it evolves, that good evolves down to us down here. What about bad? What about bad that evolves? So Michal tells us a very profound thing. The Sibus Harab b'cholmokim shehu, and the cause of all evil, wherever it is, starts from top. Starts on top and comes down here. The Sibus, the cause of Ra, he says, is Helaim ha'orosoi, is the withdrawal of Hashem's illumination. In other words, Ramchal tells us there's a difference between the cause of good and the cause of bad. The cause of good is active. Hashem provides illumination. But bad or evil, Hashem does not make the evil. What he does is withhold the illumination. It's by withholding. By withholding the illumination, if there's no illumination, Memela turns into evil. That's the difference. Hashem doesn't actively make the evil. What Hashem does is he withholds the illumination. Because the cause of Toiv is the Ha'oras Ponov. The cause of Toiv is where Hashem actually causes the illumination. And Hashem's countenance, Hashem's light. And if Hashem's light, which prevails on certain areas, on certain koiches, that brings good, that creates good, and it evolves from there down here. But the evil that's created, Hashem doesn't make the evil on top. What Hashem really does is he holds back. Let's take a look again. The Sibus Ra b'cholmokim shehu. The Sibus of Ra, wherever it is, the cause of the evil, Helem ha'orosoi, is the withdrawal of Hashem's illumination. Now, Omnom l'toiv. See the differences. When it comes to good, right? When it comes to good, Yitoyo Ha'odom, Ha'odom Baruch Hu, Hashem is described, B'Shem Siba Mamish, then he's the actual cause, you see? When it comes to good, Hashem is the actual cause. He provides illumination, which means he makes the good. By providing the illumination of himself, of his reflection, that makes the good. The Klol of L'Protov, both in general and in particular. In other words, Hashem, so here, Hashem is, of course, there's no question. Hashem is the source of everything. But the difference is, regarding the good, he's the direct cause. Regarding the evil, he's the indirect cause. At the end of the day, Hashem is the source. But it's different. The mahalach is different. Regarding good, Hashem is the direct cause. And regarding bad or evil, he's the indirect cause. Aval ra, he says, but regarding evil, loy neta'areyu, we will not describe Hashem yizborach shemay sibo mamish. No. Regarding evil, we don't describe Hashem as the actual cause. As the actual cause, first of all, ki omnom there's a chazal that says, Eina kodesh baruch hu miyachid shmoy al ro. Because Baruch does not associate his name with evil. So Hashem does not associate his name with evil, so he cannot be a direct cause for anything evil, or for anything that's bad. So again, let's not make a mistake. Although the truth is, everything, the bottom line is, everything comes from Hashem. The bottom line is, everything emanates from Hashem. Both the development of good and evil. But it's not parallel. Why? Because regarding evil, Hashem is not the direct cause, but rather evil is produced indirectly, as Michal goes on to explain now again. Elo, when it comes to evil, how evil is produced, is because Baruch Hu is Halei Moiroi, the Hashem Ponov. What Kodesh Baruch Hu basically was is, he withdraws his illumination, and he conceals, right? Conceals his reflection. So Mamela Yechoshev L'Shoi Rishloi, that's considered as the root of the evil. That's considered the root of the evil. So evil is merely the result of Hashem concealing, not actively bringing it on. Evil is the root of Hashem concealing, right, his illumination. And therefore he's not identified as a direct cause. Because that's the true cause. The true cause is, again, merely by withholding. By withholding. Hashem withholding illumination, the mele turns into evil. And this, what we're saying is, outside, heder hatzayit. The word heder is absence. That's absence of good. Absence of good, memeru, turns out to be evil. Aval prote inyonov, you have to realize, as far as Hashem's ability concerning the existence of particulars, the mitziyusam, hine, you have to realize that our odon baruch hu shu kol yochel. Don't think for one mistake that Hashem has any limitations. Hashem is kol yochel means he is all powerful. The ein lechevtzoy minia, kol baruch has no to his rotzen. Nobody can restrain his rotzen. Whatever Hashem wants, there's nothing that can hold him back. Hashem's abilities have no gebul, are unlimited. Hashem's gebul. And the Mela says, Ramchal, that a person should not think the moment that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu disassociates himself from coming evil, right? Maybe that implies that evil comes from another power. Ramchal wants to warn you. Being that we said that Hashem ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyachid shmoy al haro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not associate his name with evil. Oh, so Hashem disassociates himself from evil, so you might think that the existence of evil comes from other source. So no, Hashem is the Kol Yochel. Hashem is the all-powerful. Hashem's Yecholus is B'li Gvul. Everything on Maisa comes from Hashem, he says, as pointed out. So everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all without limit. And Amela, he says, Bara Shoirish Umekar Parati, because Baruch Hu therefore created a specific root and a source for things that are to happen. So in other words, there is an actual koyach. There is an actual koyach again from which evil can evolve that's created by Hashem. Let's make a mistake. Hashem created a koyach that can bring about evil. But Hashem himself doesn't make the evil. He creates a koyach, right? As he goes on to explain, let's look how he works it. Hatachlis hazeh. In other words, Hashem created a source or a root to bring about this taklis, shalhoitsoas prote inyon hara, which brings forth specific matters of evil, because Hashem decreed, when we create this world, there has to be a balance. Krima, how much evil, according to Hashem's understanding. Krima, sheshiyara hachochma yoyna. According to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the divine wisdom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu evaluates how much evil is necessary at any given time? Because the world needs. It's necessary for the desired state of man. For the desired state of man in the world, there is a necessity of a certain amount of evil is necessary. So in other words, so Hashem created the source in a way that would have, Imam should have a balance between Tov and Ra. Giving man now to have the ability to have an equal choice. You have an equal choice either to go through the way of Tov and do. And he goes on to Bahuma Shomar Kosin. And that's the meaning when the Posik says, now look at this Posik. The Posik is Yoitzeroy Raboy Lechoshech. Kribor is the one who formed light. And he creates Choshech. Oise Shalom. Now it says, look at the Russian, it says, Uboy Re Ra. Hashem, again, Oise Shalom, he makes peace. By peace it says, he makes peace. By Ra doesn't say he makes Ra. The Russian is, Uboy Re Ra. Kribor who creates evil. This is the Posik by when Yeshaya. Slightly different than davening, right? Oyster Sholem Avoy Res HaKoyl, we say, by the davening. But the person in Yeshaya says, because he brought us Oyster Sholem, he's the one that makes peace, Uvoy Re'ra, and he creates evil. So what do you see from this posik? We see that what? First of all, that evil is a creation, that the source goes back to something that Hashem created. Now for a moment, one might think that this contradicts what the Ramchal said, right? Because Ramchal just said a moment in an earlier statement that what? That Hashem is not considered the direct source of evil. Here it says, Ubay Re'ra, right? And the answer is because the Ramchal himself points out it's not a theory. Ramchal was not a sefer, that's what you have to know. Ramchal was not a sefer called Das Tevunos. And the Sefer Das Tevuna is over there. The Ramchal points out, this Pasuk doesn't say, as we said, it doesn't say Oisei Ra, it says Oisei Sholem. The Pasuk doesn't say Oisei Ra, but rather it says that what? Uvoy Re Ra, because Baruch Hu creates evil. So what does it mean? What's the difference between making and creating? What's the difference? So Reb Chaim Friedlander, someone we mentioned from time to time, Zechuna Baruch, he was a Mishgich in Ponovich. He wrote a Pirush on quite a number of Svarim of the Ramchal. Matter of fact, the Sefer is called Derech L'Chaim, because his name was Chaim. The Sefer, for example, is Derech Hashem. So he wrote a Pirush on Derech Hashem, and his name is Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander. So the Sefer is called Derech L'Chaim, which is the Pirush on the Derech Hashem. And there he points out the following. He says that the Goyin, the Goyin in Aderes Eliyahu, tells us, based upon another pasuk in Yeshaya, that there is, of course, there is what's called Bria, There is called Yetzira and it's called Asiya. Actually, there's four Olamas without getting into that. It's a Kabbalistic state, different levels of worlds. But again, there's the concept of Bria. The Goyim says that in Sefer Deres Ariel. It's a concept of Bria. Then there's a concept of Yetzira. And then there's a concept of Asiya. So first let's translate. Bria basically means initial creation. When you create a phenomenon, that's called Bria. And then Yetzira means forming the components. And that's after, right? After I created something, but it may not be formed. You can have raw matter. So Yetzira is what forms it. Yetzira is putting together the components. And then Asiya is making refers to the completion. For example, if you have a situation where you create the material of where you want to build a table. So first you have to have, right, somebody had to create the wood. Somebody had to create, because you both have to create the wood. So you create the wood, that's creation. Right? Connecting the pieces together, that's Yetzirah. And then polishing and finish it, that's called making it. So Amel Hashem, when we talk about relation to evil, the Pasuk says Boire. Boire means Hashem created the source that evil should be able to happen. Doesn't say he makes the evil. The evil happens indirectly. Why? Because Hashem withholds his splendor. If Hashem withholds his illumination, so merely evil comes. But Hashem doesn't make the evil directly. That's the chilik. Vayera, yes, because God creates a source. God creates a source that evil should be a possibility of something called evil. There's a source of that. But God does not make the evil, because that's indirectly. When it comes to good, Hashem does it directly. When it comes to evil, then it's indirectly. So finally, so he says the following. But Ramchal says here in the next few lines, he says that man and the world basically come under negative influences, but through a variety of spiritual forces. There's a variety of spiritual forces, and man and the world come under negative influences. Because again, it starts from Shemayim. It starts in the upper world. But even in the upper world, there's a variety of spiritual forces. So he says the following. The Inyan HaShoresh HaZeh. He says, the source of evil that we're talking about. The source of evil, who klal koich shoinim, it includes many different forces. Many different forces. Yishtalshu mahem, right? From those different forces, from these varieties of forces, what come evolved from them? Iyone hachisorin, right? Shortcomings, deficiencies, v'horoyis, right? And evil. B'chol b'chereseyim, right? In all different concepts. Be'mashin agel nefesh. In other words, it can affect body and can affect soul. The evil that can come down from the upper world down to this world can affect both the body, can affect the neshama. That's what he says. Bei mashin agel nefesh, bei mashin agel guf, bechol proteim lamachlu koisom. In other words, all various categories. And Ramchal says, as far as the details, I'll discuss in another chapter. He says, v'oid nadabu b'zeh b'chelik ha'shem sa'ad yishmaya. Now, v'hinei klal ha'koich esroel, in general, when you talk about the activity of evil forces, in general, v'hinei klal ha'koich esroel, misnaheg lifoil or shloi lifoil. In other words, the activity of these forces, in other words, both individually or as a whole, in other words, how much evil, it all depends how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws his illumination. Because Ramchal already told us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a direct cause of creating evil. But what happens is, by withdrawing his illumination, it happens automatically. The extent of how much a HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdraws, that will determine the degree and the extent of how much evil he'll have. That's what he says. In other words, whether lifoil or shloi lifoil, how much activity there should be in the evil, ben bekuloi or bachlokov, whole or partially, acha helem oiroi yisborach shemoi. It depends how much haloma, how much withdrawal of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, the hester ponoth. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals his presence. Ki kefishir ha-helem. There's according, he says, according to the shir. In other words, the greater the absence of light, so the more authority and power those forces have to act, he points out. Kach b'shir zetinos in shlitu memsholo, the evil forces have power and authority, el klal ha'koich Yisrael, right? They have a klal, or either on all of the upper worlds, or l'chaloki memenu, or just impartially. So now finally we say like this, v'hine, b'zgaber ha'koich Yisrael u'b'moshlam. In the event, if evil gains power, automatically the koiches HaKadosh become weak. When evil forces gain power and authority, if evil forces gain power and authority, so then the force of good is weakened. And those forces which are the root of all created things, they become damaged. And they in turn, they weaken the derivative branches. In other words, the physical world down here, everything suffers. However, Yigbar HaToiv, but if evil forces, are put into submission, how's that? Evil forces are put in submission, that's when Yidden perform mitzvahs, and Yidden study Torah. Thereby they increase, you see, by the study of Torah and mitzvahs, that increases Hashem's illumination. When it increases Hashem's illumination, so now the source of evil brought into submission. That's all it is. It's either one way or the other. Yigbar HaToiv, if the power of Toiv becomes stronger, becomes greater, becomes dominant, then Yisuknu Shorosh HaNevroim. That will repair, he says, the root of that which all created things in a positive way. This Yatzvu B'matzav HaToiv, and will be set in a good state. This Chaskoheim, and both they and the branches, Vanfeim, all will be strengthened. So the point is very, very easy. There's two forces. This force of good and force of evil. That's a balance. The way of Rosh and Shemayim is the way direct good comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu's illumination. Kadosh Baruch Hu merely withdraws illumination, so mamela. In other words, you don't have to kill a person. If you starve them, the physical world stuff like that. Right? If you put positive into it, if you give food, you put positive fuel, person survives. You don't have to kill him. Just take away, just remove. Just remove the fuel. So mamela, the person just is not able to survive. In the spiritual world, the same thing. Hashem doesn't have to actively bring anything evil by removing merely, by withdrawing his illumination. And his countenance merely happens automatically. So I want to show you, boys, let's go to the sheet. The very unusual sheet we have today. This sheet is, it's really, the whole thing is really an episode of a Maaseh. It's an episode of a Maaseh, and I'll give you a little idea why we have this here. Because the same way Ramchal said that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not actively bring evil, we find out that this is the way of Tzaddikim also. We find out whether many people became punished. Because, why? Because in the presence of Tzaddikim, either they had chutzpah in the presence of Tzaddikim, either they defied Tzaddikim only, or maybe they were mavazah, they embarrassed Tzaddikim, so we find there is punishment. But you're going to find out that Tzaddikim, if they want to bless, they actively bless, they give a bracha. But Chavisholim, if a Tzaddik feels that he has to, that he has to do something to a Rosha, if he has to do something, he doesn't do it directly either. There's ways, in an indirect way. And that's similar to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, we saw in the Ramchal. When it comes to good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it actively. Evil or Ra is just indirectly. Tzaddikim also. If they have to have somebody punished, they don't do it directly. A bracha, yes, they give with all their heart. They give fully. But if there's a need that someone has to be punished from a tzaddik, as we'll soon see, it's indirectly. Now this is quote is from a sefer called Shol Bechir Hashem. This is really a written biography on Reb Shol Brach. My father's rabbi, I happen to be this person, Reb Shol Brach. But he lived in Kashel. From the Gedolei Hador of Europe, talking about pre-World War II. Actually, it was Nifter, 1939, just that Kufa, 1939. And he was a Talmud student of Maram Shik. Maram Shik was from the Gedolei Talmid Chassam Sofer. He was an Ashkenaz, like Talmid Chassam Sofer. However, he was very, very close to the Tzaddikim, to the Hasidish Rabbeim. He would travel to the Shinya Veruv, he would travel to the Belzer Rebbe, with Shiva Belzer, be very close. And probably one of his best friends, going back to Europe, Mamish, mutual admirers, both was the Satan Roof of Rabbi Yehl. And Rabbi Yehl considered him to be one of the greatest Yer Shemayim to Rabbi Shol Brach, because Rabbi Shol Brach was also someone such an Ish Emes that he'd be considered to be a defender, the defender of the faith, literally. He would not, no matter what the situation is, he would not simply sit back if he saw an Avla. This was in him. My father told me a lot of things about him. And the Satan Rebbe writes on him, Loichim Mochamas Hashem. He's the one who's the defender, who fights the wars of Hashem. And the Rebbe writes in a letter, Satan Ruv writes, Belishim Pnei Yekal, without any ulterior motive, but he said the kulei kulei l'shem shemayim. His melchomis on behalf to take up for the honor of Kadosh Baruch Hu. This particular ma'aseh was written by a yid, Yisrael Ehrlich. I mean, who actually wrote the sefer. My father used to speak about him also. And this yid moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he decided to write a biography about his rebbe, Rabbi Shol Brach. So this particular what we have here, Rav Shol Brach, among the different great rebbes that he used to visit, was Rav Shlomo Lubavitcher. Rav Shlomo Lubavitcher was the Zayde of the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, was called Rav Shlomo. that, matter of fact, he was named after. I'll just give a little bit, let's go back. Rav Shlomo was Nifter, right? The old Bava Rebbe was Nifter. Rav Shlomo's father was Rav Ben Zion. Nebuch was murdered in the war. Rav Ben Zion's father was Rav Shlomo. He was named after him. And if you want to go back a little bit further, that Rav Shlomo was the son of Rav Meir Nusen, who was the son of the Divrei Chaim. That's how goes the sons. That's how you go to sons. Okay? So we're talking about Rav Shlomo Kormer, the altar of Shlomo above her, okay? The side of the haunting of Rav Shlomo is the Kormer above her. Alright. So look at the mice over here. Rav Shlomo, before Kasho, he was a rov in a place called Muggendorf. It's a fascinating, you'll see here, little piece of information here. The Yosef Kvar Rav de Muggendorf. When Rav Shlomo was a rov in Muggendorf, Nosa Gam Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu was Rav Shlomo because the Talmud is writing it. Rabbeinu Kama Pomer Lo Avner Rav Shlomo is a Chusya Mileinu. In other words, Rav Shlomo Brach used to travel many times to Rav Shlomo. Shlomo Lubavavir. Vimnizdabin Shekvoit Kedushas Radma Hoi Bemedinas Ungarn. Sometimes Rav Shlomo Lubavavir would come to Hungary. Well, if Rav Shlomo Lubavavir would come to Hungary, Oz Nosa Elov Rabbeinu Al Shabbos Kodesh. So the Kashiru would go for Shabbos. Mom, she'd leave the skill and go for Shabbos to be with the Rebbe. We would Shlomo. Pamoy Eskla Bebobav Zman Moshech. Once he was in Bobav, Rav Shlomo Brach was in Bobav for quite a lengthy time. Rabbeinu Yemisapalonu, he used to tell us, Shabiyoim Ha'achroin the Shehusa Bobav, it was the last day when he had to leave Bobav, to go back to Slovakia. Rav Yishroma, he saw and he heard a Sakhot Kedushas Rav Dover Godla Hafli, an unbelievable thing he saw by him. He saw by Rav Shlomo. This is really a mice about Rav Shlomo Bobav, was told by Rav Shlomo Brach when he was there. He was there. So first of all, Hutzivu l'mishamshov, Rav Shlomo told his mishamshim, letzavis b'mitvech, not to give instruction in the kitchen, shachinu seudo la'arach oisi. Imagine, Rav Shlomo instructed the kitchen, they should prepare a seuda, right? To prepare a suda, I left that line again. The Rebbe said that he wants to host me. He said, I'll suda's pray desley, because you're leaving now, so you want to make a suda's pray there for leaving. With civil mishamshov, right? So he commanded, right? He gave instruction on mishamshov. Let's have it with midbach that they should, but in the kitchen. Shechinu suuda lechvoid nisayoso shal arav ne Muggendorf. He was called Muggendorf before Kashu. He was a Reuven Muggendorf. So we want a suda. Prepare a suda for the Reuven Muggendorf. Bishah yisay shenichnasna lesuda. So Rav Shlomo Brach says, sitting down the suda, I realize I'm going to miss my train. I have to go back. I said, I'm sitting now at a suda. Who knows how long this suda is going to take over here? So he said, time when we got the suda, Omer Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu means Rav Shlomo Brach said, Hoye nidmali shashomu cheres. It's very late. Vaya aspik will not have time, kvala agia im agola resume. How you go to the trains? No taxis. Take a horse and wagon. So there's no time to take agola resume, that's a wagon hitched up, right, lesusim with horses. Lamokim tachanat, harakeres, rochi kamet presoi. By the way, the train station was many miles away from Barbarossa. So lifnei netilas yadayim lesuda. This is what happened. So before washing for the suda, hoytzu yadma shoyne. The Rebbe takes out his watch. Puts it on the table. Hinicha al shulchan. Romali. And he says to me. He says to Rav Shlomo Brach. He says, Altid, I don't worry about missing your train. He says, Le'etemoch, I will not allow you to miss your train. He says to him, Le'etemoch la'aches arkeves kabolo hu biyadenu. We have a Kabbalah from our Ovis, he says. The Rebbe said, we have a Kabbalah from our Ovis, Rabbeinu HaKadoshim, included in Achnos HaSorachim is not just to feed them, to make sure they're able to get home too. So if I'm being Machnas Orich, praying a Suda, including my Achnos HaSorachim, to make sure they're able to get home too. So don't worry, you're going to make a train. If he has to stop the train, he'll do that also. this is the Kodesh of the Rebbe. So he says, this is a Kabbalah, he says, Rabbi Senu Agdoshim, he says, Shemorayach Sorach Linsoya, Loila Akvoy, Ula Achinasosoy. You can't hold him back that he should delay. Don't worry about it, you're not going to delay. So he says, Vadma Notul Yodov, the Rebbe washed his hands, Achrov Ani Vanoichim, I and all the others, we washed our hands. Vaoitam Hispik Levorach Alalechem, before the Rebbe was able to say a Moitzi, a telegram comes. Here a shliach mahadoya comes a shliach right from the post office, and he comes with express, Michtav Express. Rosh Hashanah, guess what? It's coming from America to Babov now. America to Babov. One Birch HaMoisi, the Rebbe made HaMoisi, Posach is made by, he opens up the letter, he wants to see what the letter is. Koroi, he reads it, Umosreli, and he gave me to read the letter. In other words, Reb Shaul Bach says, the Rebbe gave me, I should read the letter, it was coming from America. Korosi Samichtov, I read the letter, and it's full of bakoshes. I see this filled with requests. The writer is writing to the Rebbe, full of requests. Charotes ubechiyas. He has charote, he has regret, and he's crying on the terrible mazel, and his matzes. Shalakoysev, who mischanen, he's pleading lenafsho, he's pleading for his nefesh, that the Rebbe shall rachmonis be moichelim. Something happened. Reb Shaulbach said, I see there was an avla, that I didn't know what it was. But I see the writer from America is begging mechila from the Rebbe. Because my matzav in America is terrible. So he's writing a letter to Bobov, that the Rebbe should be moichelim. Ki kolu kola kitzim. Because it's over. It's mamish bol maim ad nefesh. The Rebbe says, I'll tell you what's behind the story. That was behind the story. Behind the story, it says, this person who wrote the letter, he lived in a small city not far from Bobov. In other words, now he's in America. He's not even come from America. He came from a small town not far here from Bobov. That little town belongs to my Galilus. I mean, if you're familiar about Europe, right? For example, you had a main town, right? And the rov of the city also was rov on the little villages all around. It's called the Galilus, the Golil. So the Bava Rebbe said, this Yid lived in a small village, small city, which is my Galilus, which is under my jurisdiction. And he used to come to me from time to time. Tremendous oisher he used to be. Balachuzos gedolos, had a lot of property. Void. Problem is, in his city there was no mikveh. He's this. The Iroi, where hoisa mikveh tahara, there's no mikveh. So the people of the Kehila, Anche Kehila, his schema binayim, the people of the Kehila, came to an agreement. Live nice mikveh bim kol, they want to build a mikveh. The problem is, the oisher, I don't want. Ulam Hosher, Hazeh, this Hosher, is Nagayed, Boyerotz El Haskim. He was not asking. So the people of the Kehila who knew that what, that this Hosher from time to time comes to the Bava Rebbe for a brocha, so they figured they're going to go to the Bava Rebbe, he should influence that the Hosher should open the door, should allow to do it. Anchakila Beyodam Shoshi Zerogl and Soyalai, Bo Elai Labobud, Ubikshu Memeni, they asked me, the Bava Rebbe, Shadabra Aleph Osher, that she speak to the heart of the Yosher, she asked him, Labdias Amikre. Okay, next paragraph. Hosher Yodam Mibiku Melekal Osese, the Osher knew that they came. The Osher was upset that he went behind his back. He went to the Bava Rebbe. The Al came to Bola Bobud, he stopped coming to Bobud. He didn't come. Achaz the man, after a while, he's Minu Bnei Kila Hanal Oisi. So what happened is, you know what they did? So the Kila invited the Bava Rebbe to come to Shabbos to town. The Oish, no? Either way, to bring X to the mountain or mountain to the X, you know that? Alright. So what they did is, Achaz the man is Minu Bnei Kila Hanal. So they invited Oisi Lishbois Etzla Ma Shabbos Kodesh. Ma Osa Hosha, what did Oish do? He went away for Shabbos. He went away for Shabbos. He didn't want to be there to meet me. Ma also Osher Azeh who knows from the base of Shabbos Kodesh, because he wrote to me, Pogashiti, Benoichachoy Sanche Kolos, in the presence of the people of the Kehila. But yeah, Mashlishi, it was a Tuesday after Shabbos Kodesh, I went home. I stayed for Shabbos until Tuesday. Tuesday I went home back to Bobo, she said. As was the minig of the Hasidim, those killed. The minig was the wife where they escorted the Rebbe. When the Rebbe left, Libu Bnei Akila is Orchom Alagolois Arakfar, till the way, in other words, the way it used to be is an interesting thing he says here, that the Hasidim used to baglight, so they escort the Rebbe, to where? To the next station where the horses used to feed. That's the station where horses used to feed on the way. They used to baglight the Rebbe, used to go escort the Rebbe until that point, right? As he points out, so, Levi Bnei Akilas Orchom, that they would be Malava, their Oyereach, Alagolois, Arakvat, to the village, Boy Hoyer Regil, Halagloinim, the wagon drivers, the Hachil, to feed the horses. Shom Nifredu Shuv Merabon, then they bid goodbye, for Chol Rabbeisoy. Nisiyosi Oz Mekilazu, Belivi Kol Bnei Akura, Hoysa Biyoim Zeh. What happened was, he says, we traveled faster than usual. Mehira Yosem Anog. And therefore, Valkain Ovu Hagloinim is a kfar, so they passed the usual stop that they stopped. In other words, the Bnei Akila continued to escort me further. Valkain Ovu Hagloinim is a kfar, they passed the village, Boy Regil and Leinofish, that usually rest. The Nosu Oit Kibraseris, they continued to ride another distance. Arak Far Hameyud Leinofish, Valkain Ovu Hagloinim is a kfar, to the second stop, rest stop. The Oisha didn't realize that the Kehillah is going to go to a second stop, because they always go to the first stop. So now, we bump into the Oisha, with the Bnei Akilah, with the Rebbe. The Oisha is stuck. The second rest stop. They never go to the second. As I get in, this time we went to the second rest stop. So, he says, the Oisha is there. You see? The Oisha, because he thought Bnei Akilah, Yilavu Oisha, Adam Okimarishan, the Yazul Abesam, him to me, he waited, but Mokim Hashaini. Oh, the Oisha, by the way, he wanted to meet the Rebbe alone. He didn't think the Bnei Akilah were going to be there. So now he waited, but certainly Pog Yishiti, Bechol Zois, right? Achle Yachad, but not Iman Shekilo, so he didn't want to be together with Anshe Kilo. Who Hufsa, he was surprised, astonished, Moi Vilas Iti as Bnei Akilah. To see, he sees that the people of the city are with me. But now he had no choice. He couldn't disappear. Aber Kvalo Yochel is Chanek. Shalti Yois, I asked him straight. Loma hu ma'akev Rabbi Melasa is Mitzvah. Why are you ma'aki? Why are you holding back from a ram to visit? From building a mikveh. We hiksha sarpoi. Right? Hiksha sarpoi, what do you mean? Chutzpah. Kshay ayref. Hard neck. But rotsu lekabel techach, they didn't want to accept my musr. In other words, like he turned his back on me. Or martuloi, there's a posik, it says, Osher yana azus. Posik in Mishle. The Pasuk said, but it's a two-part Pasuk. Osher Yana Azus, the Tachnunim Yedaber Osher. Nebuchadnezzar, a poor man, has a broken spirit. He speaks Tachnunim. He always speaks in a pleading way, in a Nebuchadnezzar way. And Osher speaks with Azus. Osher Yana Azus. And Osher speaks with Azus. Right? He does it, he has courage. He has gaiven. The Rebbe Rebbe said, I took that Pasuk and I said, Osher Yana Azus. Yana means to answer Azus. That's the Poshet Pshat. Oshe Yeyoni Azus. He'll become poor because of this Azus. I took that Posek and I said to him, you're speaking, you're answering with Azus? Oshe Yana Azus, he said. I said, Oshe Yana Azus, Ma'ani Hinani Mefarish HaPosekein, Oshe Yeyoni, Pirish, Im Oshe Al Yidei Oshe Meyis Ponim, Yeyoni Meloshen Oni V'yoi Vad Hoinoi. He's going to lose his fortune. Because Oish the Rosh HaLishmoyel, he didn't want to listen to me. And he said, let's see what's going to be. He continued to speak Azus dig. So the Admos Kehimshich, so the Rebbe continued. By the way, and Rebbe, this is at the Suda, by the way, the train is supposed to be leaving. And Rebbe is telling this whole story. And he's continued, and he said, after this incident, this Oisha, his Tava Chanal, the Ezadover, the Mischoroi. He got something, got Bamish, he got entangled. He got entangled in a business venture, the Choshev Lahatul Atzmoi, and he wanted to save himself. So he forged documents. In order to save his situation. Viziat Chasimois, Ashtora Choivis. Wulam Adovanoi de Miyad, and the Pharisees got wind of it. What do they do? They have no choice. You think you have to run away, leave the country. That's how he gets to America. That's how he gets to America. Right? So Wulam Adovanoi de Miyad, Mutzach Levroichon Dinesayom. Because looming could have been many years in jail. Because Tzofik Loinish, Masa Ma'asam is jail, imprisonment. Shonim Rabois, Vimitisoi. He ran, took nothing with him. He comes to America, he had America. He wanted to start as a mischer. Anything he tried in America, nothing worked. Whatever he tried, nothing worked. So the Bava Rebbe said now through Shol Brach, he says, so you see now what happened. So now he's writing me back a letter, please Rebbe, be meichel me. That's the express letter. Rebbe, please be meichel me. And he showed him that the date of the letter is exactly, this is the last line of this paragraph. Look here on the bottom. Shebediv boys ayoyim shono, the day that he was a machutzef, he said, that's the day that he had to run away. In other words, he showed him that the day that he had to leave the country happened to be the same day that a year ago that he was a big machutzef on him. This is what happened. Now, number three, let me just speak at the leaving times. I just want to mention to you. So Shol Brach said like this, I always had within me that I've had a kasha, if I didn't understand something, no matter who says it, I ask a question. You're entitled to ask. So he says, I had a kasha against the Rebbe. And what's the kasha? And he said the following. He says, the Chassam Sofer had a Talmud, his name was Rav Feivel Plaut. the five of plout, some say that at Talmud. He wrote a sefer called Likutei Chover Ben Chaim. I have the sefer. It's about 7-8 volumes or so. 7-8 volumes. It, somebody reprinted it in America something like 10 years ago. And he's a Talmud, some say, brings a lot of things, personal experiences, some sefer. And he writes the following. They told us some sefer, in my sefer, there's a great going, and I have the sefer also. In my opinion, I mean, going back, when the time of Chassam Sofer, there was a sefer called Shari Torah, the Gates of Torah. Literally, the man, right, the man, the name was Rabbi Yomin Lev is his name. He was a Rav in Verbal. By the way, the Kedem family comes from Verbal, the Kedem family. The Herzogs come from there. Anyway, literally, a great Rebbe is like a computer mind. You see all the Maran Mekoyimus that this person brings. And the Harif is tremendous going. He has Haskoma from some Sofer who says, I never saw going like that. Haskoma from, he says, from Kineger, I never saw going like that. You see the base of Fraim Zalmagorius, I never saw going like that. The Chavis Das didn't see this. I never saw going like that. You haven't seen words of accolades against them ever, like on this person, Shara Torah. Now, the Sefer Lekutei Chover Ben Chaim brings that. The Sefer Shara Torah, there was a Maisa, he said that people got up against the Rav, against him. People killed him. Yeah, people, the Chutzofim, they got up against the Rav. And it turns out that the Rav was giving a drosha on a Kol Nidre night. So one person got up in Mechutzif, and did not allow the Rav to finish the drasha. Can you imagine such a goy in the Shara? Even any Rav, the Shara Torah was giving a drasha, and this Mechutzim got up and just said, didn't let him finish. So the Shara Torah said to him that, I can tell you, you're not going to finish the year. You're not going to live out the year. He said it from the Bima. By the way, you put your reputation on the line. If you say it, it doesn't happen. They said it's a false Baal Mekubal. They said it's a false Baal Mekubal. Once said to someone who was a Mechutzif, and he said to him, you're not going to live out the year. Well, the guy did. So he goes up, you know, to tease the Baal Mekubal and says, you see, I'm here. So of course, he said, you don't have a Munus Chachom, and that's why my Klawer wasn't Mekui. You have to have a Munus Chachom and a Brocha, the Klawer also. So he didn't believe me. So the point is, so the Shara Torah says, you're not going to live out the year, he said to this person. Turned out the next year, it was Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur, and every Yom Kippur, the guy is there. Every Yom Kippur, the guy is there. The Mechutzif is there. Shara Torah comes in, and the guy goes up to him, and he says, like with chutzpah, Nu, Rebbe, I'm here. And the Shara Torah said, it's not Shkia yet. No. The man dropped, literally, he dropped mamish before Shkia. No. Atkan. This mice has brought down the Sefer Lekutei Chover Ben Chaim, and they told it over to Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer says, I see the godless of the Shara Torah, the greatness, but I'm not impressed, because a tzaddik should not punish. A tzaddik should not punish. Why? Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei, and you can look it up. Mishlei Yudayin, Gam Onoish LeTzadik LeToyf. It's not a good thing a tzaddik should bring punishment. So Chassam Sofer says, yes, I see the greatness of the Shara Torah, but it's not the way of a tzaddik. So Shorbach asked the Bava Rebbe, so how come you punish that Oisher? How come you punish that Oisher? And from the answer, you'll see why this Maisa as a Shach is what we learned today. Now we're coming down to it. And he says, listen to me. Again, the posik, look at the posik. Gam onoish letzadik letoiv. It's not a good thing if a tzadik punishes. So the Shah, so the Bava Rebbe said the following. Tzadkadosh Baruch Hu gave a tzadik a koyach, right, to be mashpia brocha. The Baruch Hu gave a tzadik a koyach to be mashpia brocha. A tzadik in his bekeshe, he has many pockets. From one pocket he can give pranose. From one pocket he can give nachas. From another pocket he can give ariches yomim. Tzadik has many pockets in his bekeshe from to give brachas. If a tzadik needs to punish someone, he doesn't have to punish. He just closes the pocket, and the mail of the hashpoa is stopped. Gam onoish letzadik. You know how it's loy toiv, but withholding the toiv, that's attached. Gam onoish letzadik loy toiv. You know how tzadik punishes? Not actively. No, tzadik doesn't punish actively. Loy toiv. He holds back the toiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all the brachas in the hand of the tzaddik. What he does is he closes the pocket. So mamela, the other person, remains, right, deficient in all of these things. The idea was on the machal. When it comes to good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it actively. But when it comes to the negative parts, He just withholds the illumination, just holds the countenance, just holds the reflection of splendor. Memele, the negative sets in. Tzaddikim, Rabbi Yisrael, works the same way. That's the credit of tzaddikim.